Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, just like we sang, we need you. We need you every hour, and we need you every day. And Lord, we need you right now. We ask that you help us just to focus on your word, open our ears and our minds and our hearts to what it is that you want us to learn about you today. Lord, may we bless you with this message, and may you bless us with your presence. Amen. So this time, we are still in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And I believe that is just written. We didn't read it as part of our readings, but it is in your bulletin. So Romans 12, verse 2, this is what we're going to be talking about this morning. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." The other day I was kind of curious to know what the population of the world is. And out of curiosity, I went and I Googled the world population. Said, as of 2019, this year, it was roughly just a little over 7.7 billion people in the world. It's quite a bit. I thought, well, how many of those 7.7 billions claim to be Christians? So I Googled, how many Christians are there in the world? I couldn't find anything for this year, but I did find it said in 2015, there was just a little over 2.3 billion Christians in the world. That's a big difference, 7.7 to 2.3. If you think, out of those 2.3 Christians, how many of them are active Christians? Go to church every day, pray every day, maybe share the gospel with others. Have you ever wondered why there are so few disciples really in the world? I mean, every day the gospel is reaching more and more people. More people get to know about Christ. And look at the wonders that LAMP is doing with all their VBS, the things that we do with VBS here. People come to realize who he is, why we need him. Jesus takes us from dark to light. And like many that get to know Jesus, his spirit comes into our lives, right? That's the cycle. We get to know Jesus. He enters our lives. And what happens? We start to make progress in our spiritual life. We start to grow. We start to attend church, maybe be more involved, do things. And then sometimes life just happens, doesn't it? Many Christians struggle with a life that doesn't always match up to what God desires for us or what he has planned for us. We hear the story quite often where we've grown up as an active Christian in our youth. Come to church, be confirmed here. Then kids grow up. They go to secondary school, or they move away from home. Life happens, right? They get busy with friends, maybe work, just other things. Maybe they find a girlfriend, they get married, have kids. It's not a new story. And over time, they grow distant from God. A good question to ask or to ponder on would be, if I died today, would people say I was a Christian? Would they say that I was a messenger of God? Or would they even say that I even knew or followed God at all? People come to know Christ and they fall away for many years. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you know of somebody who's done that, friends or family. And for those years, they go up and down in their spiritual journey, perhaps looking for satisfaction in answers that really only God can give. Looking for answers in relationships, sex, money, alcohol, drugs. Last week, we talked about fully giving ourselves to God because God, well, that's when his blessings flow the most in our lives. God has a good plan for us, a plan to give us the very best. But that requires us to surrender to him, to offer or present, remember from verse 1, present our lives to him, to trust him 100% with our everything. Remember that verse last week where it said, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, it's one thing to give God what he wants, but how do we get the best from God? And verse 2 is going to give us the answer, and that's what we're going to dig into today. I'll read it one more time. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So how do you and I get God's best blessings? Do you notice what the first action is in that verse? It says, do not what? Do not be conformed to this world. What is that? What does, if you were to say, explain being conformed to this world, how would you explain that? Does anybody want to take a stab at that? Going along with the latest fad. Anybody else want to try? Living our voice, our lives, focusing on heaven instead of earth. Right, it's basically allowing yourself to be influenced by the world, right? Do not be influenced to this world. Do not be conformed, changed. And what the apostle's saying here, he's saying stop allowing yourself to be influenced and shaped by the pressures of the world. Do not be conformed. In other words, become separate from how the world looks and acts. Maybe this passage will sound familiar to you. In 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17, it says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, like pleasure, and the lust of the eyes, such as possessions, and the boastful pride of life, which could be positions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. So really, we have pleasure, possession, and positions. Now, all these desires are legitimate. But you know what? Satan takes these desires, and he tries to get you and I to fulfill them in illegitimate ways. Because that's what's going to destroy us. That's what pulls us away from Christ. Wrong values and a mindset is what energizes our enemy, Satan. Satan's goal is to kill, steal, and destroy us. His goal is to wreck your life, your marriage, your happiness, your relationships within this church, or other churches, your relationship out of the church. And most of all, his goal is to wreck your life with God. He wants nothing more than to separate you from him. And so Paul's words for us today are, don't. Don't allow this to happen. Paul writes these words because, well, guess what? It was happening to his church family back then when he wrote this letter. And we find that it happens to us today. If you picture back life in Rome, back then there was gladiators, idols, brothels. There's violence, slaves. Back then there was no value to women or to children, and so on. Christians were bombarded with this on a daily event, influencing their minds daily. And many of those values, they attack us today too. Everybody wants their rights. We have rights to abortion, rights to gay pride, rights to celebrating my gender, changing my gender. We have rights to, we want rights to sex, to slaves, to racial hate. We have all these things that we face today. We've got bullies in and out of school. Paul urges us not to follow the values of the world. They are not good. They are not pleasing to God. He says to be separate from the world. What you see or what you think or do matters. Do you thumb through the fashion magazines? You're standing at the grocery store waiting in line, and they've got the magazine rack standing there. Do you look at all those? We got fashion magazines, health magazines. Do we thumb through them and say, oh, if only I could look like that? Man, look at those abs. Check out that tan. All those clothes. That money. That house. That car. Are we so absorbed in our phone that we have no idea who's sitting next to us or what's happening in their lives? Or do you think, maybe, you know, if I work harder, I can get that. I can get that boat. I can get that stuff. I bet you if I work harder, I'll be happier. I'll be richer. Maybe my wife will be happier with me if I work harder, or my husband. So much of the world's values contribute to depression, suicide, divorce, abuse. Abuse in drugs, physical abuse, mental abuse, and emotional abuse. No wonder Paul says, ho, stop. Don't do this. It is not good for you. To give God what he wants the most, which we learned last week, is just you, which means fully surrendering to him. But to be or to get God's best, we need to be separate from the world. And too many Christians, sadly, have fallen prey to the world's values, and it offers promises that are not fulfilling. The only way to get to know and to get God's best for you is what? In verse 2, transformation, renewal. To be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Transformed. A transformed mind involves allowing God to change your thinking, which in turn changes your behavior. It's an internal change. Matthew 4:4 says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You can't expect God's best for your life without making this truth part of your experience on a regular basis. 2 Corinthians says, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. The world will have a negative transformation on us all if we allow it. But the Word of God that comes alive, the Holy Spirit, he works in us to transforms us. He transforms us from within to be more like Jesus. It's a process. The world is about what you are, and the Word is about who you are. I'd like you to ponder on this question. What shapes your mind? The world or the Word? Last week, I mentioned how God desires the best for you and I as a father, just like we do for our loved ones. You know that feeling you get when you watch that person that you care about very much make poor choices? You can see it in your mind's eye, the disastrous outcome, and you try to do everything to encourage your child or your friend not to go that way, but to go this way instead. But they just don't listen. You know that feeling? Can you imagine how God must feel? 7.7 billion people in the world, and only 2.3 claim to be Christians. Transformation happens with the renewal of our minds. So how or what do we do for that to happen? Colossians 3:1-4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So keeping in mind what matters, keeping Christ in mind and heaven. The world distracts us. The world changes our attitudes, our temperaments, our emotions every day. And every day we need to renew ourselves and remind ourselves not to be conformed by the world, but by God. And this is not a one-time deal. It's a continuous battle. And that battle is over you. God desires you, but guess what? So does Satan. 2 Corinthians says, reminds us that for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. We need God's help to be renewed. Romans says that for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. In other words, what you focus on is what you become. You can focus on your phone, on your body, on your bank account, your house, the car, the newest and latest fashions or crazes, your work, and it'll be easy to see what you will become, won't it? But will you be getting God's best? To get God's best, we need to renew our minds, as Paul says. That happens when we hear God's word. We can do that by coming to church. We can do that by listening to a Bible app. It'll read to us. If you don't like reading, just Google Bible app. There'll be several that will pop up. It's a great thing to listen to if you're going on a walk or driving in your car. Hearing God's word. Scripture says, read. Study. Remember, ponder, and meditate on God's word. Does this sound like a lot of work? Does this sound hard? Like, you know, this is going to have to take some discipline in your life, that you're going to have to set your mind to do it. It doesn't come naturally. Yeah, it is. It's going to take work. But why? Why should we make the effort to do this? Why should you say no to the world and yes to God? Your purpose is so that you can experience God's goodness and perfect will for your life. I'd like to leave you with these two questions, perhaps challenge you with them. Two challenges, I guess. Number one, what does God want you to say no to that the world offers or tempts you with today? The other thing I'd like you to challenge you with is, what is one thing? Start with that. What's one thing that you could start today trying to renew your mind so that you will end up getting closer to God? Can you try and maybe download that Bible app or listen to it? Can you maybe try reading just a few passages a day? Dig into scripture or study something? What about remembering? Our church has the little cards for our children. Can you remember those along with the kids? Can you think about what it is that you've just read? If you want to study more, our church even has several different videos and DVDs and Bible studies. By all means, pull them out. Take them off that shelf. Take them home, study them, listen to them. Because again, everything that you do to get closer to God will be to your benefit. Let's just close with prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for being such a loving God, for your desires for us are top of the line. You desire nothing but the best for us. And Lord, with our imperfections and with living in this broken world, we tend to forget that. We get distracted so easy with things that are going around us. Lord, we thank you for this reminder today that we need to be separate. Help us not to be influenced by the world. Holy Spirit, be that little voice in the back of our heads that as soon as we start comparing ourselves to something we see in the magazines or what our neighbor has or that we're lacking, be that little voice that says, "Oh, stop." Remember who you are and stop focusing on what we are. Lord, we pray for you to be active in our lives. We know that there is a warfare that's going on, and that Satan battles for our lives too. We pray for strength and courage in our faith. Build us up, Lord. We pray this through your great and mighty name, Jesus. Amen.